The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is brought to you by the host of the program, who is solely responsible for its content.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
Hi, I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker of Century 21, Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Welcome to the Real Estate Roundtable on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm here today with my co-host, fellow realtor, partner, husband, sign guy.
That's it, Pat Devaney.
Good morning.
How are you, Jackie?
Terrific. How are you?
Very good today. Thank you.
We have a special guest. We have Billy Ritter, Ritter's Roofing. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. We'll talk about plumbing today.
No,
roof.
Let's stick to roofing.
All right. Okay. You got it. We're here.
You know, I've been to a few houses where I think the plumbers did the electric, and the electric was done by the plumbers. I just want to point that out, okay?
Roofer gets blamed for everything.
That's right.
We see it all, don't
yes,
we?
Yes, we do.
We're here every Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. We talk real estate. We have a full-time real estate office with many experienced realtors. We have been listing, selling, and appraising real estate for over 40 years.
During the week, feel free to email us with any questions you have at questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com. Or give us a call at 570-344-6724.
If anyone out there listening has a topic to suggest regarding any business or political topic regarding real estate, please give us a call or email us. And I am looking for a fence company, a reputable, good fence company. I've called several. No one, everybody's shy. They don't want to go on air to talk about fences, but I need a fence person. So give us a jingle if you think of anybody that would be good for that. Like us on Facebook at Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. View our listings or search the MLS listings by going to jruddy.com, where we also have 3.5 years of archived radio shows, right, Pat?
Yes, we had. There's a few that's missing, and that's intentional. So, if you're looking for them, they're gone.
They were hand selected.
Yes, yes,
okay.
Only the best.
All right, okay. So, getting back to Billy Ritter from Ritter's Roofing Company. Can I have your contact information, please, and how long you've been doing roofs?
You can reach me at 570-335-1483, and there's also a website at RittersRoofing.com.
RittersRoofing.com.
Correct.
Two T's. Okay.
I started off my career as a counselor and a degree in sociology and a minor in criminal justice, and which, believe it or not, helps me with the roofing industry because you're dealing with the public and people a lot, and treating people like people and with respect is very important. And roofing has been in my family for 20 years, but personally, about 12 years I've had my company.
Okay. So you've installed roofs, you repair roofs, you go how far?
Lately, it's been expanding. I've been in Rileyville, Honesdale, Swan Lake, New York tomorrow. Within an hour and a half, 2 hours.
You'll travel.
We will travel, and especially for good customers and repeat customers that have houses, lake houses or vacation homes. We're willing to travel because people trust us and they know they're going to get a good job. And attention to detail is very important to our company. Not killing your flowers, your garden, or marking up your house or screened in porch or, you know, breaking the screens and things like that. You don't want to show up to your lake house and have broken screens and broken bushes, things
and
like that. So
nails in the driveway.
Nails in the driveway are very important. We have several magnets, one on wheels and then one used by hand to go through the bushes. And then the nitty-gritty is just picking them up by hand that gets stuck in the dirt and the mulch and things like that. And it's, I like to think it's what separates us from some other companies, that little attention to detail, because not often do you really look up at your roof. It's more so when you look at your bushes, the side of your siding, your screens. It's a big part of it, and a lot of people don't realize that. Is I get more compliments on our cleanup than on the roof sometimes.
That's right. I used to work for a guy. He says you can always judge the quality of the job by the cleanup.
Yeah, so it's very important.
I was the cleanup guy.
Yeah, it's very important.
So we're still picking up nails from a roof that was done on a neighbor's house, not on our house. And we're still seeing nails in the driveway, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
That's not good.
I try not to pick them up with my tires, but, you know, once in a while.
And it's been 2 years.
Yeah, that's another thing that I kind of pride myself in is if I agree to do your home and we come to some kind of agreement, first thing I do is speak to your neighbors. Knock on the door, introduce myself, tell them the scope of the work that's going to be performed, ask permission before I step on their property, before I put a ladder in their yard. What a lot of people don't realize is sometimes you need to hang a tarp from the neighbor's roof so you don't damage their house. And asking permission before you do that is so important. You don't want to step on somebody's property or hang a tarp from their gutter before you asked. And most times people appreciate that and they say, yes, thank you. And I tell them, I'm hanging a tarp to protect your home. I'm going to tarp the grass, your grass, tarp your shrubs. We're going to run a magnet when we're finished. We're going to rake. We would like to leave it the way we found it. The only difference is your neighbor's going to have a new roof. So,
very nice. I wish you did our neighbor's roof. Because I would be pulling out of the driveway in the morning and they would have all their scaffolding or their ladders.
It was like an obstacle course.
And I couldn't get out my driveway. Yeah, nobody asked.
It's important to show respect for the neighbors and the neighborhood, not block the street, have your deliveries. I try to time the deliveries all like within the first hour that I'm there. I don't like to have stuff delivered when I'm not there. Because then it could cause a problem if you drive over a neighbor's grass or you're blocking somebody's car in. I try to be on the job site.
I think our driveway is invisible to many people, not only workers and contractors, but the general public. People consistently block our driveway. And I'm really hoping...
Or use it as a parking spot.
Yes.
I love to come out and somebody's in my driveway.
Yes.
I love that one.
Yes. So you're very respectful.
Thank you.
I'm thinking about, as you're talking, do you yourself work on roofs, or do you have people that work for you that get on the roof? Do you yourself do the work?
Some jobs, but not all the time. It's in the beginning I was doing every job, putting every nail in, tearing all the shingles off, helping with cleanup, but fortunately for me, the company has grown over the past few years and it's come to the point where I have the same five guys on every job. Same supervisor at the job. If I'm not there, I have a supervisor who I'm in direct contact with, which I think is important. And if I leave, it's only to get materials or to do an estimate on another job, and I come right back.
So the oversight is there.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And which is a very important part of roofing because, you know, some people think roofing is easy. Well, if it was easy, everybody would be doing it. You could skip one small step and, you know, then you'll have a leak in your home. And then that's it. You could do everything right, but you skip one small detail, and you know the whole job is maybe we'll not have done the job then. You know, if the roof is leaking, then you know you didn't do your job correctly. Flashing around chimneys, pipe covers. Like I said, fortunately for me, there's people out there that don't supervise their guys, maybe subcontract. There's no attention to detail, and I get a lot of repair work from those guys, you know, like one oversight, doing a pipe cover wrong, not doing flashing on a chimney, just putting tar around the chimney and walking away. Putting step flashing and then counter flashing the chimney is very important. Now there's two layers of protection along with ice and water around the entire chimney before you flash it. You know, like just getting back to my point is that just being on the job site and, you know, a hands-on supervisor or a hands-on business owner is important, I think.
Well, you know what you're looking at, but do you think the average homeowner, property owner that's having the work done knows that there shouldn't be just tar paper around the chimney?
Probably not. It's good, you know, with the computer now you could check just about everything. A lot of times people are very knowledgeable when I get there, and that impresses me, and I'm glad that they're, you know, protecting their investment. Because for a lot of people, your home is your biggest investment, and your roof protects your home. And it's probably the most important part of one of the most important parts of your home. Without the roof, you know, your home is getting wet, and that's your investment and all your family and all your possessions inside. Anytime we do a roof, there's always 3 to 6 feet of ice and water along the eave. Wherever the roof meets the siding or, say, meets the home, there's any type of flashing, we put ice and water. It's a little bit of overkill, but when I leave a roof, the only reason I want to see that person is at the grocery store or at a restaurant. I don't want to be called back because, you know, we tried to cut a corner and didn't put ice and water somewhere, or use the old flashing and didn't use new flashing. We put ice and water shield around all the pipe covers, around the chimney, any type of skylight or protrusion, any type of, you know, potential problem, we'd, you know, try to go above and beyond each time. You know, a few dollars isn't worth having to go back a second time or a third time because you wanted to cut a corner or save a few dollars. Like, flashing an ice and water shield is very important.
What's your specialty? What type of roof do you do well, really well?
I think asphalt, you know, shingles.
Is that the same as composition shingle?
Yeah, asphalt is, you know, all shingles now are made, most shingles are made out of asphalt now, or composition it's called. There's, you know, other types, like there's some that are made out of plastic, like a fake slate kind of look. But mostly asphalt is, you know, how I got my start, and I'm specialized in it. You know.
Most homes in this area
are asphalt.
Yeah. Okay, all right.
And there's a few older homes that have slate, and if the slate is in good shape, keep it. It's made out of a rock. It's going to last forever.
And we have somebody who had a slate roof. They got 115 years out of it. You think that's enough?
Yeah, they got their money's worth, I'd like to say. And at times, we've tore off slate roofs, and you have to be super, super careful because the slates fly off when you take them off.
And they're heavy.
They're very heavy, yeah. And it's actually, I mean, if you can keep all the materials separate, it's clean fill, you know, if somebody wants to backfill a property. And I always try to save a couple because they're really nostalgic and neat, I think. And I always like to give one or two to the homeowner and put their address on it or hang it somewhere.
Oh, neat. It's just something
different.
Right.
And the old snow breakers from the old slate roofs are really neat, too. They're from the late 1800s. I always save a few of those.
Does
and give them to
anybody
the homeowner.
Anywhere in the world do slate
roofs?
Yes, it's a specialty. It's very expensive.
Sure.
And it's, you know, it's a special craft. You know,
they're beautiful.
They're gorgeous. Yeah. And if you could afford it and it goes with your home and the style, I think it'd be a great way to do a roof. And I'd be interested to try it, but I'm not so sure I'll get that opportunity.
Right. Right. Terracotta. Is that along the same lines? In terms of cost and material?
Yeah, it's very expensive. You don't see it too often.
No, you don't.
It's mostly down south where it can hold up to that, the heat. Around here, I don't think you see it as much.
No.
Because all our snow and freezing and thawing and freezing and thawing and the ice dams, you don't see it as much because I think it could be compromised by some of that.
You're right.
You know, some of the heavy snows and ice that we get.
But some big old homes in the historic areas of Scranton, the coal baron homes.
Yep.
Yeah, they still have them.
Still have them.
Okay, we're headed towards a break, but before we go, Pat, would you like to review a listing, please?
Yes, we have a move-in ready, two-bedroom, one-bath home with a bonus room for only $64,000. This home is located at 813 Goodman Street in Troop. The home has off-street parking. It has low taxes of only $1,200. The home is very clean. It's on a quiet street. It has a newer roof, some hardwood floors. It also has a nice size yard. So if you're looking to buy a home and have your monthly payments less than renting, give us a call about 813 Goodman Street in Troop, a two-bedroom, one-bath home for only $64,000. And that is listed by Jason Thomas of our office.
I'd like to welcome Dan Taylor to our real estate team at Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate. He was born and raised in Scranton. Dan has a vast knowledge of the local real estate market. He is an investor in the Scranton area, and he has gained valuable experience with zoning ordinances, building codes, and construction through the rehabilitation of his own properties. He has a strong passion for real estate, which makes him the perfect fit for Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate. Dan is eager to help you with your home purchase or sale today. We will return in just a few moments with more Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. The real estate market is extremely active, and you want to make a move, but you don't know where to start, who to call, or how to make it happen. I'm Jackie Ruddy, and I know Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate can lead the way. Our quality service award-winning team will help you with buying and selling a home. Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate has a proven track record and experience you can count on. Lean on us to show you the way. Call 570-344-6724. That's 570-344-6724. Or visit jready.com. That's JRUDDY.com, where homes are open every day, all day long. Also, remember to tune in to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate, Saturdays at 11 a.m. and Sundays at 11:30 a.m. on 94.3 FM, The Talker. In today's real estate market, there's no doubt buying and selling a home is complicated. It can be thrilling and exciting too. Hi, I'm Jackie Ruddy from Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. And when it comes to real estate, you need to be confident you're making the right decisions. I am confident we have what it takes to help you make those right decisions. Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate has been helping buyers and sellers for over 40 years. So we've invested the time to know and understand the market. We're great listeners, skilled negotiators, and we focus on every detail, giving you the highest level of service. Call Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate today, 344-6724, or visit jready.com. Plus, tune in to the Real Estate Roundtable every Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. on 94.3 FM, The Talker. Don't go it alone. Call 344-6724 for Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate. Welcome back to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, and with Pat Devaney, my husband and fellow realtor.
Good morning, Jackie. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Pretty good. Good stuff today, right?
Yes, I am enjoying this discussion regarding roofs. We have Billy Ritter from Ritter's Roofing Company. Good morning.
Good morning to you, and thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here with us. We appreciate it. And what is your contact information before we get back into our discussion?
Yeah, it's RittersRoofing.com at 335-1483.
570-335-1483.
Yes.
Okay, wonderful. Now, you've been doing roofs for about 12 years.
Correct.
All right, and your specialty is the asphalt type of roofing.
Yep.
How, if, you know, we come across a lot of properties that have all different types of roofs, but the one that would, I have to agree with you, the one that's most common is the asphalt, the composition shingle roof. How do you determine an age of a roof? Is there any hint or trick to this that you can provide us? Because oftentimes when we're showing properties, people do ask us, well, how old's the roof? Property owner may not know for one reason or another. Is there a way to look at a roof to tell and tell the age?
A good way to check is a pair of binoculars if you're not comfortable with a ladder. And if you are comfortable with a ladder, or you can call a roofer to check, it would be check for pop nails, curling shingles, granules in the gutter. A lot of times there's algae. You'll see like a black streak in the shingles, or moss growing on the roof is a sign that the roof is aged. Or needs replacing. A big sign is granules in the gutter, you know, like the material on top
starting to
dissipate and wear, and it's past its life.
A guy told me one time to tell the age of a roof. He says the space between the shingles, as it gets older, the space gets wider.
That's a good
because
point, Pat.
Because the shingles
shrink. Yep.
Like old people.
Yeah. Well, it's a good analogy, but that's a good point. Yeah, the three-tab shingles are, there's three tabs, and there's called the keyway in between the shingles. Usually it's, you know, quarter of an inch, and over time it'll, like you said, it'll shrink and it'll be wider.
And the space will get wider.
Yeah. A lot of times it's obvious, you know, majority of the time it's obvious that the roof is past its time. And the look in the attic is a good way to check to see. Sometimes you can tell what the underlayment is, if there's cedar shake shingles underneath the shingles that you could see from the outside, or how dry rotted the wood is, if there's plywood, if there's not. And a good determination is look at the chimney from the inside with a flashlight, and you'll see water marks or streak marks on the chimney, or any of the wood around the chimney is a good way to check a roof, you know, if it's holding up or if it has plywood or anything of that nature.
Well, I'm sure that when you're driving down a street or in a neighborhood and you're looking at the various roofs that surround you, you could tell just from being in your vehicle what's going on with those roofs. I, on the other hand, could look at the same thing and would have no idea. So you know what you're looking for and what you're looking at.
Right.
Another question that we get often in the business is how many layers of shingles are on that roof? And I'm sure that you're standing down looking up at a roof. You can tell.
Sometimes you could tell by looking at the rake. I mean, the outside edge of the roof.
Right.
You could see, you know, three layers or four. Unfortunately, four layers at times. a better way to check would be put a ladder up, lift up the shingles, take a quick look, and again, call a roofer or somebody that's more comfortable with a ladder, and you can look and see how many layers are there. You should never have more than two layers on a roof. Weight distribution and heavy snow on the roof is not good. Never more than two layers, and by code, you shouldn't have more than two layers.
Right. Now, people do.
A lot of people in this area, unfortunately, have three, four, five layers sometimes.
True story. I had a roofer once say it was no problem to go over two or three layers of shingles because of the roof pitch. Does that make sense?
If a high pitch roof, it would not be as much weight on the roof. But by code, and no, it's not
still
okay.
It's still more weight.
And how long of a nail do you need to use for it to hit actually hit something that's going to keep the shingle on the roof? Right.
And you add really big snow on top of that. And then, so what can happen? The rafters?
Will crack. Okay. Bowing in the, you know, the rafters will
the
bow.
Bowing,
yeah, you'll see it, like a big belly in the roof.
Right,
And like, you know, like Pat said, how long of a nail, you know, could you use? I personally couldn't do that, you know, go over that many layers. I can't guarantee it. There's no way the shingles are going to stay on. And we have heavy winds here a lot, and the nails aren't hitting anything. They're just hitting other old shingles, so they're not going to stay on. There's no guarantee that could be carried by the manufacturer or the roofer in that circumstance.
Okay. So you advise no more than two layers of roofing.
Right. And even two, the best way to do a roof would be take everything off. Take all the shingles off, strip it down to the roof deck. This way you can inspect the roof deck, make sure everything's in good shape, make sure there's no rotted wood. Or at times we do find termites or carpenter ants, and that's something you could address, and then remove the wood, install new wood. And like I mentioned earlier, if you get down to the roof deck, then you can be confident and install ice and water shield in all the eaves, valleys, around the pipe covers, the chimneys, anywhere there's flashing. And you know, and then I could walk away with confidence knowing I did a good job. The roof deck is solid. There's ice and water shield everywhere. And, you know, I would be more happy with a job that started from the roof deck and worked up, not going over the shingles.
Ice water shield, it's not something that's automatic. You have to actually do something more.
Ice and water shield should be installed. It's by code at least 3 feet. Misconception about ice and water shield is that it melts the ice. It does not. The only thing it's there for is to protect your roof when there is an ice dam, which in this past winter we did have a lot of ice damming in the area.
You've seen a lot of it.
A lot.
You've had to help people out because of that.
Shoveled off several roofs.
Exactly. You know. What is an ice dam?
Ice dam is when the snow melts, goes to the gutter, freezes again, builds up, and recently we saw some that were at least a foot high, and it creates like a, you know, an actual dam. And then the rest of the snow that melts stops at that dam, freezes again, and then will back up underneath your shingles. No matter how great of a job the roofer did, it can back up.
Right.
And that's what the ice and water shield is underneath the shingles to do, is protect. When it does back up, which can happen, as we've seen recently, it will keep the water from coming inside your house. Because under the shingles, it'll hopefully
just
run.
Just goes right in.
Hopefully, if the ice and water shield is there and it's installed properly, hopefully the water won't get inside your home.
Right, but if you don't have it,
yeah,
it's gonna go
more
inside.
Susceptible.
You're right. Okay, so then that's where you see leaking in the ceilings of the wall.
And you can't install that if you're doing another layer of shingle on top of an old layer.
It's gonna be pointless because it won't seal down to anything. So the best way is to strip a roof down to the deck.
Very good.
If you're just tuning in, you are listening to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Gready Real Estate at 94.3 FM, The Talker. How important is ventilation in the attic or in the roof area?
Ventilation in the attic is very important. What you want is your attic space to be in ambient temperature. You want it to be the same temperature as it is outside. A lot of times I'll go into people's homes in the summertime, and if it's 90 degrees outside, I try to tell them it should be 90 in here as well. People think that you want to keep the heat in your attic. Well, no, you don't, because if heat builds up in your attic, it could boil the shingles in a sense. When the heat gets to your attic, you want it to be let out. There's no reason for you to heat your attic if it's not a living space. Proper ventilation, soffit vents, and then baffles in the roof bay. You should have a ridge vent and soffit vents. You don't want to have a ridge vent and gable vents because it will cause the air to come in the gable vents and then go out of the roof vent.
But some people do have both, right?
Some people have both, and you should close off the gable vents if you have a ridge vent. Ridge vent is the best way, and with this has to be coincide with soffit vents, because you need the air to come up through the soffit and be pushed out of your attic. If you don't have the flow of air from below, it's just going to be stagnant air in your attic. You need it to be released. And some people say, well, my attic or my ridge vent is letting all the heat out. Exactly. You know, you want the heat to leave your attic. Some people think they want it to be warm in their attic in the summer. No, you want your second floor to be warm and your attic to be the same temperature as the outside.
Okay. So how about insulation? We often see people, you know, they have their insulation in their attic areas and they say that they're well insulated, but there are right ways and wrong ways to insulate. How about fiberglass insulation in the ceiling of the attic? Is that good, bad for the shingle?
It's good. You could technically over-insulate if you stuff the insulation down in the eave and you clog your soffit vents. And in the bays, you also need a plastic baffle so it will carry the air from the soffit up and out of your ridge vent. So that's one thing I always check for if I go in someone's attic, to see if they are over-insulated or under-insulated, because the roof deck should be the same temperature as the outside, you know.
Okay, so there's right ways and there's wrong ways to insulate. Mostly, most people under-insulate. Would you agree with that?
Yes, they under-insulate. When Absolutely. We did ours, we over-insulated and we didn't have the proper insulation in the attic, and we had a buildup of moisture, and we had to actually have the guy come back and put the vents in because it was done wrong.
Yeah, the baffles are important. Some people think that you just put insulation, but you need to have those baffles to carry the air out of your attic, or you will end up with mold, or at times you'll see the nails with frost on them if it's cold in your attic, and that's because heat is being released from below and hitting the nails and then freezing them and thawing and freezing.
Yeah, it was actually moist up in the attic. It was terrible. We had it corrected right after the construction was done. We had the roofer come back and straighten it out.
Not what you want to do, but
no,
you know, at least we found it and it didn't linger. The problem didn't linger. We took care of it right away.
Took care of it as soon as it shouldn't have happened, but you know, that's because things get past people sometimes.
Absolutely.
But it's good that we were keeping an eye on it. Otherwise, we would have had that buildup of moisture up there, or it could have gotten a lot worse.
Right.
Billy, we're going to end the show. We're at that time, but if you would come back to our show next week, please, we would love to have another discussion regarding roofs with you.
Oh, I'd love to. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for your time. How do we get in touch with you again?
RittersRoofing.com at 570-335-1483.
RittersRoofing.com. Ritters, two T's.
Yes.
Okay, got it. Pat?
We have a very nice 3-bedroom, 2-bath home at 1137 South Main Street in Old Forge for $109,000. This home has been upgraded and is move-in ready. It has a newer kitchen with granite countertops, maple cabinets, and a tile floor. The first floor has beautiful hardwood floors, coved and swirled ceilings. The boiler and hot water heater are new, and it has new PEX plumbing. It also has off-street parking, a covered porch, and a stucco exterior. So if you're looking for a move-in condition 3-bedroom, 2-bath home in Old Forge, take a look at 1137 South Main Street for only $109,000.
That one is a deal at $109,000. I have the Scranton multi-list statistics for Luzerne, Lackawanna, Pike, Wayne, and Wyoming counties for the last 30 days. Median sales price for 2-bedroom homes is $75,000. Median sales price for 3 bedrooms is $97,000. Median sales price for 4 or more bedrooms is $162,000. And the median sales price for all is $120,000. Remember to tune in next Saturday at 11 a.m. or Sunday at 11:30 a.m. to listen to more of the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Gready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. During the week, you can visit jready.com to view our listings or search the MLS listings, or always give us a call at 570-344-6724. Have a great week.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
Hi, this is Jackie Ruddy from Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Is real estate on your mind? It's on ours 24/7. Whether you're buying, selling, investing, or in need of an appraisal, you have questions, we have answers.
Thinking of buying or selling a house and have questions? Tune in to the Real Estate Roundtable, hosted by locally owned and operated Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on Saturday mornings at 11 and Sunday mornings at 11:30.